Patrick Timpone, along with Adam Bergstrom. Hi there, Patrick. I am from Northern Ireland, where the sun never shines. And I mean never shines this time of the year. My question is if vitamin D is so important, why are the people in reasonable health here if they don't take it?
Yeah, that's a good question. One thing, you can get it from food. And also, when people say you need so much vitamin D, but they get vitamin D in the Inuits by eating the seal, what do the seals do? Do they swim south during the day so they get the sun to go to the equator, and then they swim back so they can provide vitamin D for the Eskimos?
Probably not.
So obviously something's wrong in their reasoning about vitamin D. And I know someone personally who takes 50,000 international units of vitamin D, and it hasn't raised her vitamin D level in her blood. So there's many mysteries about vitamin D. In fact, I wrote a book about it that explains that in detail on vitamin D.
And where can people get that book? On which site?
SolarTiming.com.
SolarTiming.com, a book on vitamin D. That's your free site.
That's the free one. That's where all the books are listed. It's called Vitamin D, the Sunshine Vitamin, and it goes into a lot of the fallacies of vitamin D. Back in the day, they investigated submariners, and they found that submariners could do fine without vitamin D. Now they've changed their story because they want to sell the vitamin D that they need them. But nature, think about it, Mother Nature doesn't leave us hanging high and dry during winter. It gives us enough of a supply of vitamin D to last at least over the winter. And it's pretty easy, particularly if you expose your skin to vitamin D at high noon almost any time of the year for only about 20 minutes, because any more you burn it and you will actually retard the absorption of vitamin D and lose the folic acid out of your body as well, because the sunshine will burn folic acid out where you need some extra greens and fruits.
So it's possible, Adam Bergstrom, that this whole vitamin D craze over the last 5 years could be, you know, kind of cattywampus, and maybe now it's all cracked up to be?
It was all made up by the University of Wisconsin, and the details are in my book about vitamin D, how it came about. It's the same organization that gave us warfarin and other drugs. And now they're making synthetic vitamin Ds because they can patent those, and they're claiming these are much better than the regular vitamin Ds that they supply. And by the way, if you want vitamin D, all you have to do is go out high noon and put your food out in the sun for 20 minutes, and then you can eat it. Some foods will actually get the vitamin D in 2 minutes, like mushrooms and other foods are particularly sensitive to the sun's radiation.
I watched Doodle, my golden doodle girl, who's lying right here next to me with my foot on her. And I'll go out and sit in the sun for 10 or 15 minutes after the show. And she'll just go out and lie there right flat, you know, flat out on one side, right in the sun, just like me. And she does it for about 10 or 15 minutes. And she does it most every day. She gets a little, she knows. They just know.
They know, definitely. I was out there totally naked yesterday getting my vitamin D.
Totally naked. Yeah.
So, it's been cloudy here for a whole week, so I figured I'd get a little dose. Usually, again, winter, if as long as you get it during the summer, you're going to store it. They were measuring it in the blood and claiming that it only lasts 24 hours. That's just not true. Hmm. It's stored in the body and released on demand for us during the winter.
I mean, yeah, look at the bears. I mean, don't they go into the dark hibernation for, I don't know, what, 6 months or something like that? I mean,
sometimes 8 months.
If there was a vitamin D shortage, you know, they wouldn't even make it out of there.
And if you ever heard of a guy named Turkey McGurkey, he would actually hibernate for 4 months. He was in Time magazine about it. He only came out early one time because his wife went on cosmic vacation, so he came out for the funeral.
What do you mean he would hibernate? What would he do? Huh?
He would actually eat something. He would have, I believe he would wake up for lunch, but he would basically sleep from, let's see, he would wake up at Easter, and I think it was Thanksgiving when he would start hibernating.
That's funny.
He would stay inside and just eat. They would send up a sandwich to him. He would be in total isolation, up like one of those dumb waiters or whatever it is. And he ran a bar in one of the Midwestern states, and they would just send a sandwich up every time at noon. He'd eat a sandwich and go back into hibernation. He did it for like 35 years.
Wow.
Time magazine, it's in, you can probably put Turkey McGurkey in the internet search and find him. Interesting story.
It certainly is.
He obviously didn't need his vitamin D while he was hibernating.
Obviously not. Here is Artie's in South Georgia. Can essential oils positively affect the chakras and subtle energy systems of the human body?
If you mean essential oils, like we're talking about a different type of essential oils, the ones like you buy from...
Yeah, frankincense or something like that.
Yes. Yeah. They can. Frankincense can be of use for cancer. Lemon oil can be good for brain function. Now, I just cut open a lemon and smell it. It's the best way to get it. But thieves oil can be good for your mouth health. So they have value. I personally think they're overrated. I don't think you're going to get miracle cures from them, but I certainly keep a bottle or two of certain oils around myself.
But do they affect the subtle energy systems, do you think, or are they just...
I would say everything does.
Everything does, right?
Yeah. The purer you eat, the purer your energy system gets, and it's identification, too. We need to identify it like people like Peter Coyote, the actor. You know, he's a Zen Buddhist priest for the last 6-7 years.
Really?
And he's quite an expert on meditation and how to – it eventually starts unloosening the body, the ligaments, the muscles start loosening up if you're meditating correctly.
Hmm. Yeah, it's difficult to imagine doing anything on the physical level. And it must work both ways, right? If we know that if we do something on the mental, emotional, spiritual level, it affects the physical body, right? Because they're all one. So it would have to go the other way in some form, wouldn't it, or not? I guess it
yep.
would. I guess
that's why Peter Coyote left Hawaii, left Hollywood, by the way. He said it was equivalent to humping a donkey in Tijuana. So he preferred to have much purer vibes, and he's moving up to Sebastopol now, which is a town in Northern California that's quite off the map and kind of out of civilization. Like Bolinas is another California town, town that rejects civilization and Californification.
Really?
They cut down all the highway department keeps on putting Bolinas signs up, and they keep cutting them down. They saw them down and can tell people keep away.
And where was he living that it was too weird?
Well, he was living in Marin County, but he was, of course, he's been in like 140 movies, I believe, and he still does documentaries.
I recognize his voice. What's his name?
Peter Coyote. He was a digger. He was the co-founder of the Diggers back in the hippie days, and then he became an actor, and he decided, since he was already practicing Zen for years, that, you know, life is good or bad. Whether you're meditating or whatever, you have to face both. So he thought he might as well learn to be an actor and be a prosperous person. Well, before he was against any kind of self-endorsement and anything like that. Interesting guy. You know, he became Peter Coyote when he took a peyote trip. And when he woke up, he found coyote tracks all around his body.
Really?
And so he told Rolling Thunder about it, and Rolling Thunder said, you know, you can either take that as like a white man would, as being just a total accident or hallucination, or you could take it as a spiritual lesson. So Peter Coyote was so affected by that, Peter Kohan, I believe was his name, he decided to change his name to Coyote, and so be it.
That's funny. All right, let's go. Another call here. Hi, good morning. On the phone, who's this?
Hey, Patrick. Good morning. It's Nancy in Nebraska.
Hi, Nancy. You're on the air with Adam Bergstrom. Go ahead.
I know. Hi, Adam.
Hello. My
brother lives in Santa Barbara, and I wanted to come up there this fall and meet you, but now you say you don't do any consultations anymore, so I was kind of bummed out about that.
I still will do a consultation or two, though. If a person comes up in person, definitely. And usually I'm available every week. People can meet me at the farmer's market in Santa Barbara on Saturday morning. Anyone who wants to come up here, I'm there. I'll be the guy wearing the strange hippie pants and walking around with a Tai Chi bag around my neck.
I went to that last year, the farmer's market, and I was amazed at how beautiful, I mean, that whole, what, two blocks of just food, and, I mean, it was a beautiful sight. I took lots of pictures.
Yep, the two-block one, by the way, is the Tuesday market. The Saturday market is even bigger. It's in a parking lot about a few blocks away from there, and it's even larger. That's the one we go to.
Yeah, because I don't remember Saturday, and I could have sworn we went on a Thursday.
Thursday downtown, one is in Carpinteria and Goleta. The downtown one is Tuesday.
Okay. My main question to you is, which I've called Patrick on this, and other people that have been on there talking, but, you know, I normally don't get sick, but this is twice now in 3 months that I've gotten this bronchitis, and I don't know what's going on. I do live on a ranch. I don't know if it's stemming from allergies. I helped a girlfriend move last week. And with the dust and old cat hair and stuff, I don't know if that would what triggered it again, but this just isn't normal for me. I did try a nebulizer for a little bit. I wasn't faithful to it like I probably should have been with the colloidal silver. Mm-hmm. But I was just going to ask you your thoughts on that, what you suggest for. I was a smoker for years and years, but I quit. I've quit 15
The lungs will
ago,
rebuild, so that's
like
good.
That. So I don't know if I have bad lungs from that, but I was just wanting to get your thoughts on what you thought maybe I can kind of do to help with this. I hate to do antibiotics.
The liver has a lot to do with the health of the lungs, interesting enough. So if you eat foods on time, it tends to help that. And also, let me ask you a strange question. When you think of your lungs doing this, what's the first color that comes to your mind?
Probably yellow, because it's yellow phlegm.
Any decisions you have to make?
Decisions like?
That could give you some grief, actually, because lungs usually indicate grief. Old-timey doctors knew that when people like broke up from a spouse or a relative went on cosmic vacation, they tended to get lung problems.
So it could be before.
Stress?
It could actually be someone is anticipating possible going into grief even before they do, and that could cause a problem.
Often happens with a parent that is like on, in hospice or something like that, or even in a nursing home, and they start to worry about it. I've seen people worry about a parent 3 or 4 years before they ever left.
What about just worrying about your life in general?
Yes,
that'll do
that
it.
That can do it, especially if it brings you grief.
Well, and I know before you talked about anger with the liver.
Yeah, anger has to do with it, but for the lungs, it's usually grief, but the liver does affect it. It's just like a community depends. If you live in a certain area where there's going to be fires, the fire department might be in the other end of the town, but it's important. So the lungs need the liver as a backup. In fact, the liver is 1 to 3 in the morning, right before the lungs, which are 3 to 5 in the morning. So it obviously is the doorway into the lungs.
Well, and you always talk about that timing, and I have my chart here, and I try to eat. I have a chart up here what to eat at certain times of the day, and I try to do that a lot. My morning usually consists of some nuts and the mango and banana and stuff like that. I do my nuts and fruits in the morning, and afternoon, I do the meat and vegetables. I've found out with my genetic testing that my ferritin's really high, and my friend told me, she said, that's probably why I feel so crappy when I eat a lot of red meat. and my ferritin's been pretty high on my last test, and I guess my genetics kind of show that too. So when I do not eat a lot of red meat, I do feel a lot better. So I've been trying to slack off on that. But when you talk about this time, like the liver or whatever, 1 to 3 in the morning, but what are you supposed to do about that? Are you supposed to get up and eat a certain food at that time? Or when I get up in the middle of the night and have to go to the restroom, does that indicate something or other than age?
When people tend to wake up at that time, then they tend to have a liver problem. You know, if you wake up at lunchtime, you're fine. It's actually healthy to do that. But the best treatment for the liver is to be in a delta brainwave or a very deep rest at that time of night.
So maybe, Nancy, you just have to work on don't worry, be happy.
Well, I am working on that.
There you go. Yeah, see that?
I just don't know.
Well, you know, in Adam's book, he has each organ and different things that you can eat and do at a particular time. So, example, if you wanted to get strength in your liver, you can look on there and it says anytime during the day, you can have a certain little thing, maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon, that helps the liver. What section of that, Adam? That's pretty cool.
Right toward the back of the book, we have a protocol that has all the organ times and how they affect individual organs. So it's very helpful.
The liver's between 1 and 3 a.m., but what is good stuff to do for the liver? I've seen an article, it had like the 7 or 12 special herbs, you know, that are really good for the liver. I mean,
tomato juice and raisins are excellent.
Hold on a second. You're both talking at the same time. Hold on. Okay. Go ahead, Adam. Yeah.
I was going to say that tomato juice and raisins at small intestine time are one of the very best things you can do for the liver. And by the way, I was going to mention, even though banana and mango, you're eating them on time, there are two organs that are often associated with allergies. Banana is very related to latex, and because it's grown commercially in very non-natural ways, it often gives people latex-like allergies. And mango, too, is in the poison ivy and poison oak family. So many people who eat cashews and mangoes will have that kind of problem that will translate into the lungs. Now, banana, if you're going to eat it, they should be like almost rotten. I know people who love them that way. I have trouble stomaching them that soft. So I pretty well don't eat bananas except on rare occasions.
But Nancy, he's saying small intestine time, which is 1 to 3 in the afternoon, you might try some tomato juice and raisins, and the liver likes that during that time.
Yep. In fact,
the
way to target
raisins. So I mean, can that just be tomato juice from the grocery store, or do I have to?
Well, you can get some organic stuff. You can get some organic.
Yeah. If you have nothing else, yes, but the better choice is, what is it, Lakeside, Patrick?
Yeah, Lakewood. That's
Lakewood.
Great company, yeah. And
an organic.
Go ahead, Adam. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They make an organic whole tomato juice. You know, it's not from concentrate.
Right.
So they make a really good one, and I use it occasionally for various things. I always keep a bottle handy for emergencies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And it's regular brown raisins, yellow raisins, it doesn't matter?
Yes, it does matter, because be careful. Oh. And the yellow raisins particularly, they add sulfites. This is different from the sulfur that Patrick sells. It's sulfites, and those are not very good for your liver and or your lungs. And I know people, in fact, here's to show you how doctors can goof up, even with all their training. A very good friend of mine, went to a restaurant, and she went into her lungs basically stopped working. So they rushed her to the hospital, and the doctor said, oh, it's your stomach. You need the purple pill. And when she was going to take it, she got the prescription. And I said, don't take those till you see me. So I said, do you have any kind of problem with your lungs, asthma? Oh, yeah, I kind of have an asthma conditions. I said, you probably ate in the salad bar some lettuce that is full of sulfites, or did you drink any wine? Oh, yeah, I had a glass of wine. And then she realized what had happened. And the doctor totally missed the fact that Many restaurants have those sulfites in the lettuce and the salad bars. They're doing it less now because so many deaths have occurred, actually, in fast food restaurants. And the wine can do that.
So, like with the tomato juice and raisins, would you do like a cup of tomato juice and a handful of raisins, or?
That's a good amount. See, you don't need necessarily an amount. People want these specific amounts for things, but you kind of do it for taste. If you want a half a juice, you just like a little bit of it, take it. It's the timing that is more important than the amount that you get. Almost, look at homeopathics. You have almost nothing there, and you have an effect. And if you use it at certain times of the day, it's especially effective.
Okay.
Okay.
And one more question real quick. So I know there's different colors of poo. So what was a dark green poo mean?
a dark green trauma? Resentment?
No, poop.
Oh, poop. Usually you have something going on with the gallbladder is what I would suspect.
That's what I thought, and that was this morning, yep. And I thought, oh, my God.
You didn't eat anything extra green the last day or so?
Well, no, I didn't. I mean, last night we had, bean cheese burritos, so I was like, why is that so green?
Yeah, it's a bilious condition. Often when you get yellowish colors and green colors and things like that, what is it called? Verta something or other it's known as. It's a green type of bile.
What's the emotion around gallbladder?
That's not having enough gall to do something, and that could add into decisions too, because you need the gall to make the decision.
Okay. There you go. Okay.
By the way, I tell people that it takes heart. It takes heart to build.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
All right,
thanks,
bye-bye.
Nancy.
She had a hard time hearing you. Go ahead, Adam.
I was going to say, I tell people that it takes heart or courage to belch, but it takes gall to fart.
Oh, yeah. So if you're not making a decision that you have to make, that can disrupt the gallbladder as well.
Definitely. Decisional traumas are sometimes the worst of all. Donald Lay said that more diseases happen from the color yellow, more serious ones than other colors even.
So yellow is a decision trauma? Yellow is a decision?
Yeah. It's better to make the decision. You know, it's like having one foot in one boat, one in the other, and the boats are pulling out. The sooner you make that decision, the quicker and the better it is.
Yeah, the happier you are. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. We're on the air every morning, 9 to 11 o'clock Central Time, OneRadioNetwork.com. You can reach me anytime, Patrick, at OneRadioNetwork.com. Adam Bergstrom's here on the first Monday of the month. This is to Daniel, who wrote about the kidney issue. He's got a lot of good information here about somebody that was only 10% kidney function and kind of got all back going again with some other things. And I won't go through it all, but if Daniel, you're listening, email me and I will forward all of this information to you. It might be a lead for you to work on some kidney things here. Also, I guess for the kidney fellow Daniel, the emotion around the kidney is?
Fear.
Often.
Yeah, that's why people tend to wet their pants when they get frightened, you know. They used to have expressions about that in Vietnam, the soldiers, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I talked to soldiers in person that had peed their pants while they were in battle. A lot of times you take a kid in front of the class and then they wet their pants, and that makes it even worse because then they get the shame goes with it too. So guilt goes with the bladder more so than kidneys, but kidneys can be tied in with guilt too.
Oh, guilt is the bladder and kidneys are fear, huh? Yeah.
Yep.
Is that why?
Now, bladder also has aggressions. We get peed off, you know, and you will find the hollow organs tend to be more aggressive and the solid organs are more passive. And in acupuncture, you have six solid organs and six hollow organs. So your lungs are a solid organ. Your large intestine are a hollow organ. Your stomach is a hollow organ. Your spleen is a solid organ. Your heart is a solid organ. You'll notice you have two and two is the way it goes through the clock, too. It's organized by time to have solid, solid, hollow, hollow, solid, solid, hollow, hollow.
Solid, solid, hollow, 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 hollow.
The Chinese figured this out years ago. Well, now medical science is starting to realize, like, the time of asthma is 3 in the morning. At 4 in the morning, they have it. And actually, that's right in the middle of lung time, and yet the Chinese had figured this out thousands of years ago.
I watched a movie a few nights ago about Emily Dickinson. It was kind of a strange movie, and she used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to write poetry. And I thought about you. It's a wonderful time. Tell folks about 3 a.m. what that's about.
The creative time. In fact, think of the word inspiration.
Inspiration.
It actually can apply to the lungs and to our creativity. So our creativity comes from the lungs, definitely.
Inspiration. Isn't that
inspiration.
Funny?
Inspiration.
She knew that this is the time when she could write poetry the best, and she got permission from her dad to get up at 3 and write. Isn't that funny?
At that time of day, you notice all of the religions of the world, from the Catholic religion to on, they tend to get up at 3 or 4 in the morning and meditate. The hour of nectar in India. And also, though, you can do two things. You can become a very smart person by studying at that time, mm-hmm. or being creative at that time, or you can meditate and get into some kind of enlightenment or cosmic consciousness.
Yeah. We did a show with a really interesting fellow. I don't know if you heard it, about fermentation and all that kombucha. And he talked about making a pineapple kind of ferment thing with just the skins and the core. You think that'd be a nice thing to do and you drink some of that at night? I do really well with having pineapple at nighttime, late at night.
I didn't hear the show, but I heard John Wong talk about it on your Friday show.
Yeah,
it's on time. I'm not, as you know, a big fan of fermented foods. In fact, even Weston Price did not approve fermented fish oil. He was the plain squib oil. But if you're going to take it, nighttime is fine for it. And again, fermentation depends on what's being fermented. Sauerkraut's not going to hurt you much. It actually can help the liver if you take it at small intestine time, and it can actually heal an ulcer. So it's not a hard and fast rule. It's yes, no, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, Anna Bergstrom, yes, no, maybe, Chronobiotic Nutrition. He has two websites. It is SunSync Nutrition, which is the pay-as-you-go, $99 a year. And then solartiming.com. Adam, where's the best place to find out exactly what their solar time is? Which website is that on?
That is sunsync.com, or you can just read one of your my blogs on One Radio Network too.
And you got some links.
You know, it's a great source. And let me tell you something. A lot of times people ask me something, what do I do for the kidneys or like that on the show?
Yeah.
And as soon as I hang up, Vibrant Gal will say, why didn't you tell them about so-and-so? You know, you forgot that. Oh, my God, I forgot that. So what I forget, just look up on the blog. And again, your search function is so good that, as Swami Nitty Gritty once said, the worst pencil is better than the best memory, and your site is a great pencil.
Yeah, boy, we got a little search engine on top right, and you can put words in there. You just crazy stuff, and comes up with a lot of good things. So always look for that, especially, I can't tell you how often people say, you should interview so-and-so. And I said, okay, we did, you know, and it happens It happens all the time. So look for people that you're interested in. You'd be surprised at people. I mean, we're going into our 10th year or something like that? Crazy, right? March 2008, The first show we did was with Adam Bergstrom, and now he's on every month on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Listeners to the variety of programs on the One Radio Network have in many cases picked up on Wednesday's Real World of Money featuring Andy Goss. STL Incorporated, Andy Goss's company, specializes in the purchasing and sale of American gold and silver coins. Many of the listeners have become familiar with Andy Goss as he has spoken about the central banks and their ability to create unlimited amounts of fiat or unbacked currency. The expansion of the money supply by these central banks around the world has actually created a very bullish market for gold and silver coins. Those who have listened to the shows have picked up on many of the points of accumulating gold and silver coins. Those who may be new, please feel free to call us for additional information anytime at 1-800-468-2646. That is SDL Incorporated, American Gold and Silver Coins, 1-800-468-2646.
Well, it's a wild and woolly world out there, and to following some of the stuff with the money and geopolitics, and we did a whole 2.5 hours on the JFK newly released files over the assassination. And so we're going to get back to the regular money show. However, there were some new files that were released the last few days, and so we'll talk a little bit about them as well. But it's kind of just really strange out there with what's going on with the stock market and the amount of debt. So stay tuned. Andrew Goss, he'll keep you up to date. And you hang around One Radio Network, you can live a long time, so you don't want to outlive your money. And that's the worst thing, right? What am I going to do? Gold is $1,279, silver is $1,726. The Dow breaking records every day, 23,550. And oil keeps moving up a little bit to about $56. So Andy will be here on Wednesday on One Radio Network. And this is the last day for the sale on all Surthrival products. The last day, promo code One Radio. Promo code One Radio. So if you'd like to get some of Daniel's products, that's the colostrum, it's the elk velvet antler, the pine, pure pine potency pollen thing, the Yopan tea, which is really fun. It's the only really caffeinated tea locally in the United States. So that's kind of cool. Shaga and Rishi and what else? I think that's about it. So, and then the new taboo aphrodisiac for boys and girls, all from Daniel Vitalis. Any through Surthrival link, click and order, promo code ONERADIO, 10% off. Today's the last day. Daniel Vitalis, the colostrum we offer is from moo cows. Why is it good for people?
There's a sort of wonder of nature in that there's this relationship between cows and people where cows' colostrum is actually extremely bioactive in human beings. We've known that for 8,000 years. And there are over 4,000 medical studies confirming that when human beings consume cow colostrum, a similar thing happens in their body, starts to format their immune system. It seems to be due to substances that are found in colostrum that are called immune factors, and also this really amazing substance called transfer factor, which somehow transfers the immunity over from the cow to human beings. But the important thing to remember is that we're living in an era where there's more people alive today with dysfunctional immune systems than ever before. And colostrum gives us the ability to actually restructure, rebuild, and reformat our immune systems so we can really thrive in our modern world today.
Thriving, yes, indeed. We like that. The colostrum is now in the 1 and 2 kilo bags as well, or you can get capsules or a smaller size. Just click an order right on the front page. Any Surthrival link on OneRadioNetwork.com.
One nutritional secret is that due to soil infertility, plants are not making the percentage of mineral sugars that they did before the advent of chemical agriculture. These mineral sugars are measured in the juice of a plant. The more sugar, the more minerals, proteins, fatty acids, vitamins, and phytochemicals. According to some experts, these mineral sugars are what activate the DNA of our body to be efficient at making protein. Due to an absence of enough of these mineral sugars in our plant foods today, our bodies require 40% more protein. One World Whey is a technologically enhanced whey protein food that can supplement the protein needs of your diet. It is easy to assimilate and it tastes delicious. However, its most attractive feature is that people from ages 3 to 80 are having phenomenal improvements in health. People are reporting vast improvements in energy and well-being that last for 4 hours or more from a single serving. You can click on the One World Whey banner ad and order right here at OneRadioNetwork.com. That's OneRadioNetwork.com.
Broadcasting live, weekday morning, this is listener-supported One Radio Network.
Oh, my goodness. Francis Albert Sinatra. Oh, kind of early for a martini, but, yeah.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York. A city that doesn't sleep, and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap.
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Adam Bergstrom, the first Monday of the month. He's broadcasting from his palatial palace, not far from where Frank Sinatra used to live, which was in, what's the name of that place? In the desert? Desert Spring? No.
Palm Springs.
Palm Springs. Are you far from Palm Springs?
Let's see, a couple of hundred miles.
We need to go see Frank's old house someday, just to see where he is.
Yeah, it's still, I think they have tours there.
Do they really?
It's open to the public today.
Really? Oh, God.
Everybody else lives up here. Ellen DeGeneres now is selling one property and buying two more next to Kevin Costner and Conan O'Brien, and she's got another one. Hmm. She's a serial real estate flipper.
Yeah, a flipper, yeah.
Make a lot of money that way. She makes more money than Oprah now.
No kidding. Ellen, really?
She's ahead of Oprah. I heard.
If I'm going to be a big-time movie producer, I just may have to move out there.
All righty.
Well, you know what I'm saying? This may have to come out to... Maybe Oprah has a little shack in the back she can rent me for $10,000 a month or something.
She has a giant guest house.
Oh, good. Well, that's it.
We've had her eye on her guest house for a while, too.
Oh, you have? Yeah. I see. You had mentioned this serotonin thing. So I'm real curious about your theories. As you know... You know, some dude went into a Texas church yesterday and, you know, killed 25 people. And my theory is, and I can't prove it, but my theory is that so many of these people are often on these SSRIs, which are serotonin, what do they call them?
Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Inhibitor, right. And it really messes with the serotonin pathways, which, you know, we have heard from different very well-respected psychiatrist that if you are on these meds and you get off them, you know, you go bonkers. You know, you can, and they even prove that, remember Cynthia Yates, 40 years ago, who drowned her kids in a bathtub in Houston, and the guy, the Texas shooter, that all these people were on drugs. You know, they're often on drugs. And the challenge is that with the patient doctor privilege thing, you can't even find out, right? And they usually shoot the people anyway first before they find, right? They always shoot the guy. Yes. You know, they always shoot the guy. You know, it was interesting yesterday. I read where, you know, this guy goes in and shoots 25 people in the middle of a church in a little Texas town near San Antonio, and they chase him and they have him cornered, and rather than, you know, shoot him in the legs to try to find out why these people are get so wacko, they just blow him away, and they never know, right? So talk a bit about this serotonin thing and why this could possibly be so dangerous with this SSRI that I believe is involved with all of these things. I can't prove it, but I believe it is.
Well, it is. And serotonin is supposed to be good for the brain, and it's not good for the brain at all. Huh. It actually causes aggression, and you don't even have to get off it. You can be on it and have the aggression.
Really?
So many crimes are committed under SSRIs, which stop. It gathers your serotonin in your brain. And actually, it's a toxic chemical again.
So these SSRIs, what do you know any of the brand names of these guys? Or?
Golly, not offhand.
I don't either, yeah. I can Google it. But so the idea is they figured out that they can give people SSRIs and they have moments they feel better and they're not depressed and all this stuff, right?
Well, you know, the medicine we have is like backwards. Everything they recommend are good for our brain tend to be bad. I also mentioned like the DHA. Well, serotonin, estrogen, and nitric oxide is supposed to be good for the brain, and they're all toxic to the brain. And yet, scientists and psychiatrists say they're good for our brains. But look at what happened. What in a Texas church, was that just over
yesterday.
The weekend?
Yeah, just yesterday.
Yeah,
that's
yesterday.
What I was talking about. Yep. That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it happened. You know, actually, there are 6 of those type of incidents every day in the U.S.,
wow.
And we don't hear about them.
You know,
6 per day.
Just the big ones we hear about, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I guess.
Or the ones they want us to hear about. Again, the fake news, they want certain ones in certain areas for certain reasons to get to our attention, but there's a lot of where 6 or 7 people are killed and we never even get the news.
And they give these things out like candy, Lexapro, Celextra, Prozac, Zoloft. They give them to women who, you know, walk in there and they're having a hard day, and the docs just give this stuff out. And then the ladies, oh, they say, oh, you want a Zoloft? You know, I know a friend of mine, and there was a dinner or lunch with a bunch of ladies, and you know, she was taking her little Zoloft or something. Oh, you want one of these Zolofts? You know, it's like, it's people. It's just nuts what people are. What I can't believe the doctors can get away with prescribing all these things like they do. Lexapro.
Very toxic for the body too. They cause liver damage, all kinds of other problems.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, supposedly our country is 60% of people aren't on prescription drugs now, but I think it's higher, because if you take the over-the-counter drugs like Tylenol and ibuprofen and those drugs, then it gets a lot higher. And
yeah.
They are often just as toxic as the ones you're getting by prescription.
Hmm. So what would we conjecture that maybe these people that are on these, they'll just start taking more and more of them and just whack their brain out, huh?
Pretty much, yep. It's whacked out enough with the prescription amount, but then people abuse it. You know, look at Ritalin. It's sold on the black market. Kids get high on it.
Really?
Yeah, they'll get their dose, and then they go and sell it to their school chums because they want to get high on it, and then they take multiple doses and everything and get loaded.
I thought they gave Ritalin to kids who were overactive.
That's what they say. It's speed. I mean, it's closest related to Benzedrine. In fact, they actually give Benzedrine to them also. But Ritalin is just another one that they figured out how to get a patent for it, and they make a lot of money on it, and they made it like mandatory in a lot of cases that your kid had to do it. And, you know, if Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn were alive today, they'd be on Ritalin, right? It's healthy. They want kids to be zombies. They want them to sit in a row and pay attention, not look out the window. You know, you want it to be like Las Vegas. Close those windows and keep kids away from the window so they don't think they want to go outside and play, for heaven's sake.
Oh, my God. You know, that's one thing back then when I went to grade school, and I think we had, I don't know, 2 or 3 different recesses plus lunch. So they kind of knew back then that it was good to let us go out and just run around for 15 minutes and be crazy. But I don't think they do that anymore. I don't know.
I don't think so. We had a lot of playtime, I remember. Especially, I went to grammar school in New Jersey in a little green schoolhouse.
Really?
6 grades and kindergarten in one building with a potbelly stove in the middle for the winter. And we went out and played Ring Around the Rosie and hide and seek and everything, our teacher. We had picnics outside.
Oh.
So it was a great way to go to the first and second grade for me.
Yeah, of course, that was 4 centuries ago, because
it was a while back.
That's a while back. That's funny.
You know, back then I had to walk to school uphill both ways.
In the winter, I heard that story from my dad.
Yeah, in the winter, in the blizzards.
That's great. Here's an email.
I did have a blizzard where I fortunately, my parents sent the neighbor kid out with a sled to save us, because we were having trouble climbing up icy roads. And walking, we had to walk 2 or 3 miles home from school.
Did you ever hear me talk about my mom's way to help us to go to school? So we would be sick, right, at night. And you'd actually have a fever and feel really crappy. And so she would, you can't make this up, man. She would give us a whole tablespoon of castor oil.
Uh-oh.
And then she'd put you in bed and she'd put about 12 covers over you. And she said, Chris, go to sleep. Okay, so then you wake up and you are sweating, just soaking wet, right? So the whole fever thing happened while you were sleeping and broke the fever, and you get up and poop and you're good. Okay.
All right.
You're good to go, man. But mom, I still feel, no, you don't. Now here's your temperature. You're 98.6. So what's wrong? Well, but get dressed. Oh, man.
You know how they cured a friend of mine in Hawaii? They gave him a roach drink. They ground up roaches for colds. So she said she got very few colds.
Yeah, moms knew back then, boy, what to do, right? Isn't that amazing?
They did.
Yeah,
they
how
did.
You could just give the body, help the body get a fever and burn up whatever you got going on. Yeah.
Instead of MD at the end of a name, it should be M-O-M.
Mom, yeah. Mom. Somebody sent us a thing the other day that suggests that way back when whoever was measuring the whole 98.6 thing actually got it wrong because of bad thermometers and stuff like that, that the average more normal temperature was more like 98.2. It was a nice long article all about 1800s. You think that's true?
Yes, no, maybe.
I knew it was one of those with you.
Yeah. In fact, I'm a victim of that kind of thing. I, in the afternoon, at 3 in the afternoon, reading all the books, I thought I was smart. I'm reading books, says 98.6 is your temperature.
Right, right.
Well, every evening at bladder time, I would go up to 99.6 regularly.
Huh.
So I ended up getting 2 trips to the hospital, having my appendix taken out, having every antibiotic you could possibly imagine.
Oh, no.
And only recently did I realize that that's your normal temperature at bladder time. You should be up a whole degree or two by the end of the day. And so I was suffering from health, not disease.
Oh, so actually in the afternoon, you should go up a degree or so.
99.6, and even 100 is acceptable and actually metabolizes the poisons out of your body faster. So 98.2 shows a person that is running on adrenaline, cortisol, estrogen, and other chemicals. So they can get by that way, but not as long, and they won't last as long. It's a year or two off their life, but
right.
To me, every breath I take is sacred to me.
Yeah, baby. Every breath I take. Is there a song like that? Every breath I take.
I think there is.
Is it curious? I just kind of flashed on me that as kids, when we were not feeling well, that this afternoon time is when our fever went up. So that was a normal. Wow. Just thought
highest
of that.
Highest temperature is 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
In the afternoon.
Now,
afternoon.
If you go
right.
to New York, you get it off 3 hours, and it takes one time zone per day to equalize. So if I went to New York, my temperature would be back on 5 o'clock by in 3 hours.
Isn't that interesting?
3 days. 3 days. Excuse me.
Interesting. Of course, they drink a lot of martinis in New York, and that could make your experiment not quite as accurate.
especially if they drink it at the wrong time.
That's right. Especially drink your. So for those who do drink alcohol, which we don't recommend, but for those who do, it's a fermented, let's see, grain generally. So you have to drink during the day and get wackoed. I mean, because if you drink at night, like most people do drink alcohol, you're actually drinking out of time, aren't you? Like wine is a fermented grape. Isn't that a morning thing?
Depends on the alcohol you're drinking. Like a grape is a midday food, so yeah. It becomes a midday alcohol. And is particularly good for the kidney health, small amounts now I'm talking about, at kidney time, 5 to 7.
Oh.
While your tequila and your potato vodka, most vodkas are grain alcohol, unfortunately, but I have a potato vodka here that I combine with my pineapple juice once in a while and my aloe. And that's nighttime. And morning would be cherry wine. Be careful, though. You look at cherry wine, and it says artificial if you read the label closely. So you must get the real plum wines for morning, the real different alcohols that are made from almond. I forget the name right now. And all of these drinks have a timing. And again, when I take my either my vodka at night or my tequila, I take like a teaspoon to a tablespoon.
This is OneRadioNetwork.com. Adam Bergstrom, Patrick Timpone. Adam's here once a month on OneRadioNetwork.com. So you mentioned that in your book. There's a little magic recipe using aloe, pineapple, and a little bit of tequila. What's that for? What's the benefit?
It's really good as a hormone balancer, and it's one of the best things you can do for your liver.
Really? And so give us the recipe.
Recipe would be a teaspoon to a tablespoon, and if you weigh a lot and want to have a shot of tequila, I guess you could do it.
But just a little bit works, right?
Yeah, that's all I take, a teaspoon to a tablespoon. My fifth of tequila lasts me like months.
You know? Sure.
So anyway, then you put it in pineapple juice. I get your Lakewood brand because mm-hmm. it's the best I can find so far. Mm-hmm. And then you add a little aloe vera, which we get right off the plant here. That of course, Vibrant Gal is a big fan of aloe.
Yeah, you've been hearing about
every time I say something on One Radio Network, she says, "You forgot to tell them about aloe."
Yeah. Have you been hearing about this product that we've been promoting that we get? It's frozen and it's just aloe.
Yes.
Man, it's so good. So I could use that with a pineapple and the Lakewood. I think you're right. The best you can get actually pineapple. It is pasteurized, but hey, what are you going to do? But there is absolutely organic and it's not from concentrate. It's just they just smoosh up pineapple. And then so it balances the hormone and the liver likes it. What's the ideal time for that?
Ideal time would be circulation sex time between 7 to 9. And if you want to affect your thyroid, 9 to 11.
Oh, so if you
night.
Do it. Oh, good. And the thyroid likes it if you do it 9 to 11.
It does.
Huh. And so just a teaspoon or so of agave, you wouldn't get drunk on that or anything. You wouldn't feel that, would you?
Nope. And strangely enough, that drink will depress the thyroid, but what it does is depress it so that it expands it at another time, at spleen pancreas time. See, a lot of times we have a rhythm. We want cortisol to be at a certain level or our temperature to be at a certain level, and it's designed, if you take a balloon and squeeze one end, it gets smaller, constricted, and the other side gets expanded.
Huh.
The same with time. If you make something less at one time, it's going to be more at another time. So actually, your tequila and your aloe and your pineapple juice are immune suppressants. But why would you want them? Because you expand your immunity 12 hours later.
Oh, wow, so. It's so fascinating. I don't know how did you figure all this stuff out?
You know, actually, I had a lot of help from Swami Nitty-Gritty, but I also do a lot of research because I got tired of telling people, how do you know that? Swami Nitty-Gritty told me. That's not an acceptable answer. So I go through all the old medical textbooks, particularly because I find they are more informative than the new ones. Doctors now, they look at a machine and they do a reading. Back then, they could tap on your body and put their ear on your chest and tell more about your body than a CAT scan, a PET scan,
yeah,
or an MRI can today.
Yeah, I think,
Any kind of gene test or liver test or whatever they do, enzyme test. They knew more back then. You know, typical, and I don't recommend this, but the doctor would taste your urine and taste your stomach acid back then, too, and they would tell more from it.
Really?
But I don't recommend that.
Well, you know, I drink my pee from time to time, fairly often, actually. You can taste the difference in what's going on in your body. It's very curious, very curious.
It's antibodies.
Yeah, antibodies, you can taste it. Speaking of urine, too, for your face, boy, you want to get your face looking like even younger than it is today. You just put pee on your face every day, and it's amazing.
It is a beauty trick.
It's the bomb, man. It's the bomb. Yeah, you know, we can get, speaking of tequila, I'm going right from pee to tequila. Wow, what the heck. We can get a lot of agave tequila here. That would be a good one because agave would be a nighttime, right?
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you said that because you want 100% agave.
Right.
If it says agave tequila, it's usually only 51% agave tequila by law. But when it says 100, then they have to have 100%. Yeah. The cheapest one I get is in Trader Joe's here in town where we can get a bottle for like $11.99.
100% agave.
Pure. Yeah, which is really a good price. Costco has really good prices on, what's the brand? Golly, I have to think about it. The Green Label one that's so good. Mm-hmm. They have really good brands anyway. What's the one that Mel Gibson popularized? That's one of the better tequilas too. Pedrero?
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Close.
So this idea of having a little bit of red wine, it's been posited over the years about it's actually good for health. Is there something to that, a little bit of red wine every day?
Definitely. One time a lady came into the health food store that I managed, and she said, "What can I do for my kidneys?" And I sent her over to the liquor store to get some red wine. And first of all, she said, "You know, the only time I've had problems with my kidneys and the pain really has been at kidney time at 6 o'clock in the evening." But she said, "It sure is curious. I come to the health food store and you send me over to the liquor store."
So what is it about? Is it the alcohol or the grapes?
You know, it's a combination of both. The grapes have two things in them. They have, hydrogen peroxide, interesting enough, which in the use of the wine actually is therapeutic for both ulcers and kidney health. Different than taking the hydrogen peroxide plain, it makes it in the same way that you have hydrogen peroxide in honey. That's why honey in wine at bladder time is one of the better things for ulcers.
For stomach ulcers?
For stomach ulcers taken at that time of day. Hmm. There's a shunting mechanism goes there, and it's a little more complicated than 180 degrees. It's like 150 degrees or so.
What time?
But shunting occurs. Oh, at bladder time from 3 to 5 is when you take the wine then. Normally, you would take the wine at kidney time for the kidney health, but for ulcers, you would take it from 3 to 5 and take it with some honey and form a type of mead by adding the honey into the wine.
That's cool.
Stirring it into it. It tastes good, too.
Yeah. Here's an email for you. Dextranized potatoes with lots of grass-fed butter and chopped onions on top have become our favorite dinner. Given the mineral depletion in soil and nanoparticles on leafy veggies, what can we eat for lunch? Where should we get magnesium, zinc, copper, cobalt, chloride, iodine in perfect balance from our daily diet? A lot of questions there. Nanoparticles on leafy vegetables? I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, okay.
Whatever. Well, it's better to get organic. You're going to get some of those particles. More and more we will be experiencing them. But the thing about mineral depletion, you look at the health of the vegetable. If a vegetable is healthy, you're probably getting everything it needs. If you go into the Rodale's books, they tell you how to identify shortages in vegetables by them turning yellow, or this happens, or they are stunted, or whatever. If you're eating a vegetable that that supposedly has less minerals, you can do what Don Tolman says. I eat two carrots instead of one. What's the problem?
There isn't any more. And we're going to talk about minerals and food and with George Altgeld in the morning. He's a really cool guy, biologist, a chemist, agricultural dude. And we're going to talk about juicing up your, your gardens. And you can do winter things too inside. greenhouse and stuff like that. And also to this email and to everybody, I would caution you, if you really believe that some vegetable you have has something bad like nanoparticles, and you believe that, I wouldn't eat it. I would just not either believe it or don't do both.
I agree.
don't do both.